The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but smile, you may be on candid camera. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Don't forget, media making everyone dumber in America. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I was bored and I needed something to do. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy, here it is. We got people that listen to this show and pray for people on a regular basis. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That is a big part of our commitment to be praying. Does every prayer get answered? Not that I'm aware of. Does every prayer get offered in faith? Absolutely. And so we will bring it before the Lord, lift it, and see what the Lord does with it. That's a big deal for all of us who know what it is, who've been walking in the Lord for more than an hour. As you know, life has some very interesting twists and turns in it. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question about that or anything else, we'd love you to give us a call. Now, it's not a kvetch fest, so we're going to stop that before it starts. There's a lot of tough stuff going on all around, and I don't disagree, and there are excellent shows to share that on. But on this show, we're trying to follow Hebrews 10:25, encourage one another as you see the day of Christ getting closer and closer. And my friends, my brothers, my sisters, all creatures, ages, sizes, all kinds, the return of Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer. Woohoo! That is how the Christian should be responding. Bottom line to this, you can reach out to us if you want to. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and high expectation. That's how we should be walking into it, right?
Yep, yes, sir.
How you doing today, bro?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We might get a Jake's take in a little while because the baseball didn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to go, so I want to talk to you about that in a little while.
All right.
Because that'll be kind of interesting. But I want you to know, if you call in, get a chance to say hello to Jacob. Say what's going on. Talk to him just for a minute, though, because if he ends up talking to you on the phone, then he can't get your phone call over to me, and then it makes all the show go woo, woo. So keep that in mind. Additionally, if you don't want to call, because I know the phone, it's scary. Now, even if it's 11:36 at this particular moment in San Diego, or 136 at this particular moment in Dallas. You can use the phone, but if you don't want to, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice, always available.
214-210-8483.
Additionally, if you want to, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Before we send you up to the website, I'll let you know that I do have a little bit of background. Now, I'm not your pastor. I'm not your teacher. I'm your big brother in the Lord who just won't go away. You know that big brother that just irritates you forever and ever? That's me. I have a little bit of background, born and raised into the Jewish home of the Spoon family, went to private Hebrew school. Then I embarked in an adventure on, let's just say, purveying recreational pharmaceuticals. And then Jesus came knocking on my heart about 45 years ago, about a week from today, it'll be 45 years. Wow, that's amazing. And so if you think about that, that's just really, it's like long, right? But gives you a little background for me. Came out of a Jewish home, had a very interesting upbringing. I do have a Bachelor of Arts degree in Ministry and Leadership, a Master's degree in Theological Studies, as well as a Doctorate degree in Strategic Christian Ministry. I am very, very blessed that the Lord allowed me to be a summa cum laude. I did get one A minus in all of my credits, and 245 college credits, I got one A minus. And we won't comment about that or whether I am sore about that still, since I just brought it up to you all. I guess you can figure that out. And at the same time, that only means one thing. I'm exactly like everybody else. I'm just trying to get one step closer to the Lord, as his return is becoming more clear and more evident, and the world around us is becoming more chaotic, we know the redemption draws near. And in that process, that's not the time to run and hide. If the Lord pulls us up, won't be an issue. We want that, right? Who doesn't want to go and be with the Lord? But until that takes place and until that trumpet blows, our job is to stand firm in the faith. And while we see things falling around us, we recognize that people in their own territories who are being challenged and being persecuted and being killed are standing firm in who they are. We can do no less, right? So I'm going to encourage you to go to our website. On the website, I want to say this, and I don't often get into this, and I hate talking about it, but it's too bad. We are at the 23rd of October? It's October, right?
Yes, it is October.
I thought it was August for a second. I don't know what happened. It was a flashback. Anyway, so
you're close, only 2 months behind.
That's my life right there. I'm just 2 months behind. I was born 3 months late, so I'm still operating that way. Anyway, so the bottom line to that process is on the website, it's a place to give, and we need finances in order to keep the ministry going. And instead of being apologetic, if you don't like to hear this part of the show, then turn the radio down. We need people to help us because we're a little low, lower than normal, lower than normal, about half of what we normally take in on a regular monthly basis is where we're at, and that is not the time for this. So if you're able to participate with us, help us to advance the kingdom of God, please, you won't get a donut, and you won't get a Ferrari. You will get a thank you, and you will get a receipt at the end of the year, but don't do it unless you have a right heart and a right spirit, and don't do it, unless you understand you're giving to the kingdom of God in your giving, in your faith. We'll do our best to use those funds as wisely as we can, but you're giving it unto the Lord, and you give it unto the Lord as a offering. That is how you need to be looking at it, something I've been talking to my brother about recently. Got to be giving unto the Lord. Even if it's something, you have to be a giver because God loves a cheerful giver. Check it all out, the place to give, and more information on that, all on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That might be my new favorite one. That is genius. That is genius. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Come on, that's classic. All right, here we are, folks. Whether you're in San Diego or whether you're in Texas, or we just found out, by the way, whether you're in Alberta, Canada. Hello. Hello. Okay, whether you're there or whether you're anywhere in other countries or other places, listen. We're going to get into Titus. We just finished 1 Timothy. Now we're getting into Titus. And there's a couple of things I want to say before we get rolling in this process. Here it goes. Welcome to the world of Titus, the third in a series of pastoral epistles. What is that? The series includes 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. These are the three pastoral epistles. They are collectively referred to as that way, and as we embark on this teaching journey, we'll give you a little bit of background information, not a ton, but enough to understand why Paul wrote the letter, who Titus was, his location, and the circumstances for the time. Fortunately, this is a shorter epistle, and no, an epistle is not the wife of an apostle. This is a shorter epistle, so it won't take a full year to teach. Maybe. The letter begins with Paul's signature identification, which I want you to understand is a feature present in all Pauline epistles, okay? The Paulinian epistles are the ones that were written by Paul. Oh, yeah, that's good right there. They're one of the many reasons that people believe that Hebrews was not written by Paul is that Paul's name is absent in that epistle and in all the other ones. His name is apparent. It's right at the beginning. So it's really important for us to grasp that. He acknowledges his servitude and his mission to advance the kingdom. We're going to get into that in a split second. But I want you to understand that you need to get what the idea is here. Timothy was in a pretty big metropolitan area in the Ephesus area. Now, Titus, he's on a smaller island, an island called Crete. So Crete's like the fourth largest island in the Mediterranean Sea. No, it's like – but it, the one thing they had is they had absolutely deplorable morality on that island, okay? Gluttony, laziness, dishonesty, they were proverbial. I mean, this place was kind of bad. Plus, there wasn't a lot to choose from, especially when you get into the qualifications, and that's why I always find it hilarious when churches say, well, they got to do the right thing according to Titus and 1 Timothy. Two completely different situations giving two different structures of what the qualifications are for people who want to enter into ministry in the eldership level. What's amazing about this is he writes to Titus. Titus is one of Paul's own converts. It's important to understand it was written probably 63-65 AD, around that territory. And it's quite an amazing but uplifting small epistle. So let's just get into it. Let's not play around with it. Let's get to the very heart of what Paul gets into. And this is what he says right off of the beginning. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. For those that are trying to figure out what a bondservant is, it's a willing slave. You want to make it as simple as possible? It's a slave that's not been brought by compulsion. It's a willingness. And in fact, we're commanded to be bondservants of the kingdom of God, willing servants who will move forward. And the thing that you and I have to remember is, look, God's not, you know what he's not doing? He's not right there, right next to you, twisting your arm, saying, you'll do it exactly as I say, or I'll hit you with this stick. You have to make a decision that you want to serve. Do you understand that? So Paul identifies himself first as a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He acknowledges his servitude and his mission to advance the kingdom. This is kind of a helpful thing just to start with, just so I can say this real quickly. We are first servants in the kingdom of God. And then we have our different designs or tasks that we're called to. But this isn't about us building our kingdom. This is about us advancing the kingdom of God and living our lives to the glory of God. And yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do and say and think stupid things. But God loves us anyway, and our job is to refocus and refocus and refocus so that we can be on the right path. I'll give a plug for one of our shows on the radio on KAAM and on K-Bright. That would be The Narrow Path. Get it? Okay. That was my little plug for him. Okay, so bottom line to this process, he starts off, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here is the coolest thing. According to the faith of God's elect. What? Paul asserts his position aligns with the faith of God's elect. Let me explain to you the depth of this. It's superbly important for you and for me and for everybody that names the name of Christ to remember that this is a key pattern of ministry for everyone. It's for the elect. It's for God's chosen people. David recognized his kingship when he was the king of Israel. He recognized he was placed there for the people of God, not for him to think he's just so cool. He was placed in the position of king and recognized his kingship was for the people of Israel. That is our example for all of ministry that we ever do. We are servants of the kingdom for blessing others, for helping others, for encouraging others, for challenging others, for sharpening iron against iron, and for patting on the back for all of it. And if we follow this pattern, by the way, then we're following the established path that Jesus set up. I have not come to be served, but to serve. That is the primary entrance into any and all righteous ministry. I'll take a breath and do my first trivia question right now. Here you go. This is a pretty good one, actually. What is the meaning of the word Exodus? You know how we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Is that word Exodus, does it mean revelation, exit, or strength? Does that word Exodus, is that word mean revelation, exit, or strength? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by phone. I promise nobody will bite you. It's 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You also get a chance to say hi to Jacob. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Question is straightforward. What is the meaning of the word Exodus? Second book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Is it the word, does the word mean revelation? Does it mean exit? Or does it mean strength? That's your trivia question. So think about that for a second. Do, 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 do. That's a sound effect that I don't have to pay for, so I kind of like it. All right, so, you know, we do nothing but high dollar stuff here. Have you noticed that, Jacob? We do nothing but high dollar. Nothing. That's all we do. We all do. Top notch. Top programs. Okay. Anyhow, let's get back to the text. I want to make sure you understand what we're talking about. This is Titus chapter 1, and this is, we're just in verse 1, so we haven't gone very far, and it's just simply this. It's like Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. And, here comes an and. The acknowledgement of the truth. This is a very difficult passage for many people because there has to be an acknowledgement of the truth. Well, a guy can be a girl. Well, a girl can be a guy. The acknowledgement of the truth. God makes no errors in creation. Mankind in sinfulness takes many things and perverts them. So in the acknowledgement of the truth, what is the truth? Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. The word of God is truth. Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth. What God has to say in person and in word is the truth. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. If you are a sci-fi fan, you should be like going, what? Here's what Paul is saying to Titus, who's going to convey this to the people, the churches that are gathered, the different people that are doing work for the kingdom of God on the island of Crete. He's telling Titus, look, I'm a servant of God, an apostle on a mission for Jesus Christ. This is according to the faith of God's elect, for the people that acknowledge the truth, which accords with godliness. How do you know it's the truth is the word of God? Because it's God's truth, so it accords with godliness. In hope of eternal life. Just stop right there. In hope of eternal life, yeah. First of all, eternal life that's lousy is not eternal life. So let's back that up. We'll give our friend Noah the credit for picking out Planet Golf. Eternity that's awesome, that is fantastic. Eternity that is not awesome, that is not fantastic. But in God, eternal life is fantastic. It's incredible. It's outstanding. It's the hope. It's what we're looking for. It's like, what are you talking about? We're going to live forever. It's going to be so great. I want to be able to eat and not lose weight. People are like, where are you going to be able to eat? I don't know. But if I think that way, that heaven is better than I can eat and lose weight at the same time. Heaven's better than that. I don't care. Even that would be just so outstanding. But it's better. Now, everything functions in my body perfectly. Better. I'm always in the presence of God. Better. I'm never depressed. Better. I'm always up. Better. How much better is that? And so in hope of eternal life, and then it drops this line on us, and boy, is this a great line. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Oh, stop. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And God has never made a promise that he has broken. Not in the scriptures and not to any person anywhere ever. Because God, he cannot lie. And you know what he did? He promised eternal life. Wait. Before time began. Okay. Yeah, I think you, and everybody's saying, oh yeah, I get that. No, you don't. I don't get that. We don't even get before time began. We get parallel time frames. We just don't get before time began. Why? Because we don't exist that way. We have a birth. We have a death. We're linear. We have a point of entrance and a point of exit. That's what a linear being. God is an interlinear being. He enters. He exits, enters, 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 exits, exits, enters, all over the spectrum. And before time was created, and scripture teaches that time was created for our benefit, that's how much lower we are on the totem pole. Before time was created for mankind, God made a promise. I'm going to let these people live forever with me, those that are mine. Like, okay, I'll take it, right? It's like, you got to be kidding. So this is what it is. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. You know that promise he made you? If it was from God, it will absolutely happen. Better make sure it's from God. But if it's from God, absolutely. He promised before time began. But what he did, verse 3, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He manifested these truths to us through the silliness of preaching. the goofiness of people who teach and preach, the idiocy of people like me on the radio, because the truth penetrates past all of that. It's just like, what? How does it do it? I don't know. It's so cool. I don't know. I don't get it either. But here's what I get. God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life before there was time. I am definitely counting on this. This is a total awesome principle of truth. And for the sake of God's elect, right? Wow. Okay, now back to the triv question. What is the meaning of Exodus? Is it revelation? Is it exit? Or is it strengthen? And the answer is, it is to exit. The Exodus was all of Israel exiting Egypt. That was the whole part. Get it? Okay, that was fun. All right, if you're in San Diego, hang out with us. Go to hemustincrease.org or use the KAAM app. If you're in Dallas, hang out with us. We got more to come and a very cool teaching coming up on Job. We'll be right back.
David Spoon Experience.
I want you to catch something because for some reason the church feels the need to over-answer cultural changes that take place. Look at Jesus. He didn't care about anyone's opinion. That's what it says right in the text. And you do not care about anyone's opinion. Jesus didn't go, yes, I do. No, he didn't. He didn't. He never, because he didn't. That's exactly right. He is true. So they said, we know that you are true and teach the way of God. That's alethes, which means speaking the truth completely, nothing hidden, being real. He teaches the way of God correctly. That's alelethes, which is the case is according to the fact, and doesn't care about anyone's opinion. The Greek word here literally means does not look at people's faces. In other words, when you're doing radio, I can't see faces except for Captain Chris, okay? I can't see if your face is giving approval or denial, because the only way that happens is by text or phone or whatever the case may be. When an actor acts, they can look on stage and see with the audience if there's approval. Jesus didn't seek people's facial approvals. He didn't care. And you think, well, no, he cared plenty. No, he cared about the mission to save the lost. He didn't care about those who were going to reject in the capacity that he sought their approval. He never sought their approval. He didn't live for people's positive responses to him. He walked at the pleasure of the Father. Whatever the Father wanted him to do or say, that's what he did. Which is when you'll hear me say, we do it for the author and not the audience. Because I think some of you people are literally some of the nicest people I have ever met in my human journey. But you still don't have a heaven to put me in. And that's what it comes down to. And I know that says, that sounds so, you know, harsh or whatever. It's like, are you serious? Okay. If the Lord tarries and I die, you are not going to help me. I just don't really know the way to say it. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you guys to catch that. To catch. This is why Jesus was so different. It's because he spoke the truth. He said it according to what the truth was. And he didn't seek people's approval in sharing. He just was like, look, I'm telling you exactly what the Father told me to say. This is exactly how the Spirit's leading me, exactly what the Father wants to be said. And then you look at that and you go, ooh, how about us?